This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to the November 30th edition of the Noon Business Hour. Made it through another month. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's a beautiful, mild day for this time of year. Sunny, breezy, a high temperature of 52. It's 52 right now at O'Hare and 49 at the lakefront.
Well, if you get some binoculars and peek into the sky, you might see where the Dow has gone, up 357 points right now. Let's get the latest on this eye-popping blowout session from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
That's right, Rob. And Chris, boy, the Dow made it look easy enough when it sailed past the 24,000 mark at the opening bell for the first time. Now it's traveling well beyond that milestone, as you mentioned, up about 350 points or 1.5%. 24,300. That's where we were, or very close to it, just a few moments ago. The NASDAQ is up 58 points, undoing some of yesterday's damage. S&P pushing to a new record, higher by 28 points, also a gain of more than 1%. Right now, above 2650. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by more than 1%. So these are the strongest gains of the day so far, following John McCain's decision to back the Senate tax bill. It is headed for a vote as soon as tonight. Consumer spending settled back in October to a still decent pace after the biggest increase since 2009. A post-storm surge in car sales cooled. Incomes remained robust and inflation showed progress toward the Federal Reserve's goal. First-time jobless claims unexpectedly dropped, down by 2,000 to a total 238,000 for the week. Back to you, Robin and Chris.
Thanks, Veronica. Thanks, Elisa.
We have all the names wrong right now. We should write down flashcards or something like that.
Amid the soaring markets today, we're going to examine what's happening there behind the curtains. And amid a torrent of stories about sex harassment in the last few days, it's almost the holiday party season, and we're going to talk about that possibility.
We'll talk about the self-driving car and entertainment. You can take in the latest blockbuster while you're behind the wheel if you don't have to actually keep your eyes on the road. And then at 12:49, we'll talk about how the Apple Watch is keeping an eye on your health.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by Northern Illinois Food Bank and All Chocolate Kitchens Primo. Workplace harassment is topping the headlines at a time when companies are planning holiday parties. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the Dow remains above the 24,000 mark. It's up almost 400 points on the day. Let's discuss the markets with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, welcome back to the program. Is this 400-point increase today driven entirely by news that the Senate is close to passing the tax reform bill?
It's helping. I'm not sure I would ascribe all of it to it, but there's no doubt that that is emboldening investors to be a bit more confident in putting money to work. I think there's other factors here, too. There is, you know, I think we're at that old point where you have people just fear of missing out is putting forcing people to put money into the market. And it's of note that yesterday, the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which, as you know, is an average we watch very closely because of its ultra sensitivity to the economy, an average, by the way, that had really been lagging the Dow Industrials for the last 2 months, really caught fire. It was up over 3% yesterday, went to a new all-time high, confirmed the new the highs in the Dow Industrials, and reconfirmed the bullish trend under the Dow Theory. And I think some of that probably is flowing over to today's enthusiasm as well.
There was a book many years ago called Dow 30,000 during one of the boom times in the market. Then during the Great Recession became kind of this ironic artifact of an earlier time. But now the Dow is at 24,000. Is 30,000 a possibility?
Oh, sure. Most definitely. And I don't think it's going to happen in the next 12 months. But, you know, simple math, I mean, to get from here to there is not all that much. And when you look at the long run average annual return of the market, it's, you know, in that 9 to 10% range. So, you know, if your money's going up 9 to 10% a year, your money's going to double in 7 years. So, you know, from the standpoint of a Dow 30,000, you know, it's not going to happen in the next 12 months, but could it happen in the next 36 to 48 months? The answer is absolutely. We'll probably have a little bit of a, I don't think it's a straight up path, obviously. And then, you know, we've gone well over a year before we've had really any discernible pullback in the market, but I don't think we're going to be seeing too much of one, at least through the end of this year. Investors are really, again, in that kind of fear of missing out mode, and they're going to push stocks higher before year end.
Well, you did say that a lot of people are climbing on board today after seeing how high this is going. Is this something you would recommend, or you want to sit back and watch and see what happens for a while?
Well, I think it depends on your own situation. If you already have a pretty healthy exposure to stocks and you're wondering about putting additional funds in, you might want to see if you can do it a little bit more cheaply. But you know, if you've been somebody who's been sitting there and you've got tons of cash and you haven't been doing anything with it, you know, you got to start to get in the game here. I'm not suggesting you put it all in, but you got to start putting some in. I mean, history shows that, you know, the best power you have in an investment program is harnessing the power of time. And basically over time, stocks trend higher. 3 out of every 4 years, they've been higher since 1926. So anytime you're sitting on the sidelines, you're really bucking a long-term trend. Now, I will say that, and this is going to sound a little weird, but I am usually not a big fan of 300 to 400 point up days in the market. And the reason for that is you start to build and develop this kind of trading mentality in the market. And one of the nice things that had been about the rally up to this point, it's been really, you know, slow and steady wins the race. And it just, you know, you get 40 points, 60 points, 80 points. Those are sustainable moves. You start getting into this type of activity and a breach trading, and you know, while volatility on the upside is great, you know, nobody likes it on the downside, and this kind of stuff can breed a bit more volatility. So that's something investors need to be aware of.
Good advice. Thanks very much. Chuck Carlson, CEO, Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. And up next, how companies are dealing with fears of inappropriate behavior at holiday parties.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The holiday party can be a tricky event for companies, particularly at a time when workplace behavior is under the microscope. Let's see what the trends are this year. We welcome in Rick Cobb, the Executive Vice President of Challenger Gray and Christmas, based in Chicago. Rick, welcome back to the program. Even before the sexual harassment scandals, before the Weinstein effect really settled in over businesses, company parties were kind of a big liability issue because they were concerned about patrons being overserved and getting in their cars and driving home. So this is just one more level or layer of complication for companies as they plan their end of the year gatherings.
Yeah, you know, absolutely true. They've shined the spotlight more on the holiday party, which is already a regular lampooned feature in most major movies. The Christmas party tends to be where all the bad acting occurs.
Well, I mean, we've all heard stories about the distant past of you should have been in this place in the 60s or 70s when they had holiday parties. Those were really exercises in debauchery. Is the after hours rent out a bar, rent out a restaurant holiday party, is that still very much a thing in corporate America, or is it simply just a couple of, you know, plastic cups of wine in the hallway?
I think that the big sponsored party at a restaurant is on the wane for two reasons, or maybe three really now, with given recent events. Certainly the fact that there's more attention paid to it. I think the other thing is the fiscal responsibility that's observed by the employee. Many of them look at that event and say, well, this is a great thing if you're the C-suite executive, so you can say, look at the big party I threw, but I'd much rather have a larger bonus, more time with my family. So the move is more towards an integrated party in the daytime, reducing the number of non-employee guests, and making it more family and children friendly.
Rick, standing back for a minute and seeing the big picture, this week we've been shaking our heads in the newsroom. Person after person is admitting about harassment, sexual harassment, going to quit his job. Has this been going on forever and we just didn't know about it?
I'm going to say yes, and I'm not a behavioral economist, but all of the reading and data says, you know, society takes a long time to change. We've changed the norms, but the behaviors haven't been changed at the same time. So what was, winked at or ignored or allowed now becomes no longer acceptable. It has been happening, as is proven by the stories that are coming out. But we've changed our way of viewing it, and once you have that sort of cascading effect of somebody saying, "Well, it happened to me as well," people feel more comfortable identifying it as an inappropriate behavior and calling it out.
Thanks a lot, Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger, Gray & Christmas, based in Chicago. Just ahead, an update on the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the numbers on Wall Street with Elisa Parenti.
Chris, just a rally is afoot here with the Dow up 333 points or almost 1.5%. The benchmark's at 24,273. NASDAQ is up 52 points and the S&P higher by 26. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also winning the session higher by almost 1%. A device that's embedded in a new wrist brand for the Apple Watch marries two existing features, the heart rate monitor and activity sensors, and takes them to a new level using artificial intelligence. For people in danger of cardiovascular-related complications such as stroke, devices like the CardiaBand from AliveCor may soon play a critical role in helping wearers avoid a health emergency. We have a check of the grain markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are mixed as we go through the noon hour. Spread unwinding is the main feature. Selling beans, buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat as we approach month end. This morning's weekly export sales report was a little disappointing for corn and wheat, but a little positive for the beans on the longer term perspective. Corn's trading 2 to 3 cents higher, beans 6 to 7 lower, and the wheat market 4 to 5 cents higher. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are soaring while Bitcoin is taking a hit. We'll see what's propelling the markets.
Technology Thursday, how cars are increasingly becoming delivery systems for entertainment.
The Apple Watch now has an accessory that's been approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
Chicago's Inspector General calls out some city contractors for underpaying their workers.
Actor Jim Nabors, best known as TV's Gomer Pyle, is dead at the age of 87.
Beautiful afternoon, sunny skies, high temperature of 52. It's 52 right now at O'Hare and 49 at the lakefront.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 339 points, the S&P 500 up 25, the NASDAQ is up 55. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by GWC Law.
Well, Bitcoin hit a high of $11,000 yesterday, and it's taken a hit today. Let's talk with Dave Liedtke, who is reporter at Bloomberg in New York. Dave, many of us are having a difficult time really understanding what Bitcoin is, but tell us a little bit about that and why it is struggling today.
Sure. Bitcoin is what is referred to as a cryptocurrency, and it really is what it really is a computer-based method of exchange that's been around for maybe about 10 years, and originally began with computer programmers and a development community that was looking to break away control of money from central banks. Autonomy was one big selling feature, and over the years it's progressively gained in its profile has increased as people have warmed up to the underlying technology on it, and in the past year it's really taken off. It's up about 1,000%, and today right now it's down around 4%, which and given how much it's moved in the past year, it's pretty small, but it's a little bit of a victim of its own success as of late.
When people see the charts and they see how it has soared in the past year, they probably are doing a little research and thinking maybe I should put some money in. Is it the ordinary investor who is playing with this?
It's hard to tell. It seems like that's a good portion of it. A lot of the, I guess, speculative frenzy that you see around it right now, especially with all the promotional things you read on the internet, that type of thing, if that's how you're doing your research. But at the same time, what really a lot of people suspect is that a lot of institutional money is finally waking up and getting curious about this. There's talk right now of some of the Chicago-based exchanges, they're offering futures, which moves it then to the next step of being an investable asset for institutions. And you've already had special hedge funds and the like, about 100 set up this year to invest in it.
Well, chart on the cover of the Wall Street Journal is Bitcoin's meteoric rise kind of dwarfs every other bubble in recent financial history. With this thing taking off as fast as it has, what's going to stop other people from trying to develop their own cryptocurrencies to compete with Bitcoin?
Well, there's actually about 1,000 out there already on it. This is pretty much seen as the original on it. And an interesting fact with a lot of the other ones, the pattern has been what they call digital tokens, but the transactions that are conducted in them to buy and sell those are often conducted in Bitcoin. So they're, as you get the growth of competitors, they're actually dependent on Bitcoin for their success.
Bitcoin in the year 2017 is up 955%. Dave, thanks for joining us today. Dave Liedtke is reporter at Bloomberg in New York. And coming up, we'll take a look at traffic and weather together.
But first, the markets, they're flying high today. We're joined by Tim Griske, who's the chief investment officer at Solaris Asset Management, based in New York City. Tim, it seems like as far as the markets are concerned, this is as good as it gets. The Dow is up almost 400 points. What's driving this rally this week?
Well, Robert, it really is earnings. Corporate America has been delivering strong earnings growth for about the past year, and not only meeting Wall Street expectations, but exceeding them on a regular basis. So we're in a period of global economic acceleration, and that really is a perfect environment for the stock market.
We've just been talking about other investment ideas. Bitcoin, for instance, is having a huge year. Do you stay away from Bitcoin? What's your recommendation?
Well, Chris, we've certainly studied Bitcoin. We believe we understand it well from an investment standpoint. We've not put client money into it. This is going to be a very volatile investment. And it's really impossible to analyze. There are no fundamentals here. What causes the price to go up primarily is simply more people buying it than selling it. And that's a recipe for eventual disaster. And certainly we've seen some of that. The price of Bitcoin can skyrocket, but can also fall precipitously. And so you can make a lot of money, but you can lose it just as quickly.
All right, you're looking at these eye-popping numbers out of the markets, this incredible growth over the past year. When analyzing your own portfolio, I mean, what are some of the benchmarks you have to see to kind of get the sense that you're really getting the most out of this as you should be?
Well, certainly the primary benchmark for stocks that most people use is the Standard & Poor's 500 Index, which are 500 large U.S. companies, the 500 largest. And they are weighted in that index by the size of the company. So Apple being about 3.5%, a little bit under that, of the S&P 500 is weighted a lot more than the smallest company, the 500th company in there, in terms of the movement of its stock price. But I think just looking at a index like that is short-sighted. I think you have to look at what your goals are, what your needs are, what your volatility tolerance is, and determining what your benchmark should be.
Thanks a lot, Tim Griske, Chief Investment Officer, Solaris Asset Management in New York. Ahead in Technology Thursday, a marriage of tech and entertainment for self-driving cars.
News that makes you money.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Intel and Warner Brothers are partnering on an effort to provide entertainment in self-driving cars. Let's learn more about this new frontier from Tom Lason, president of New Media Solutions and NewMediaSolutions.tv, based in Seattle. Tom, it used to be that the radio business kind of had a 100% monopoly on the dashboard, and the competition was simply other radio stations, but maybe in 10 to 15 years, our competition will be the next comic book movie as people take their self-driving vehicles to and from destinations in Chicago.
Sounds like there's a very good chance of that. And you read my mind. I'm thinking to myself, we're going to miss the days when we had the push-button AM radio in the car, and that's all we had to deal with.
We're going to miss those, too.
We're definitely looking at the vehicle being a new content delivery platform. I think a little bit about the cruise ship industry, and if you've been on a cruise ship lately, you realize you're not actually on a boat looking at the ocean. You're in a shopping mall. Same thing possibly with a car. And when you think about all the possible revenue streams tied to that, charging for the ride, charging to place content within that vehicle for display, charging for the content itself, see if the rider will pay for it, selling advertising bedding within that content, taking a nick off sales if you buy something off Amazon while you've got your 3D goggles on watching a projection on the windscreen of the car. It's amazing, and it's really going to possibly change the ownership model for vehicles as well. And all this technology, it's not off the shelf yet, but it's certainly being aggregated by the big players in the industry.
So what are Intel and Warner Brothers, what are they working on? Are they trying to just develop a content sharing agreement and then get the technology going? How is this going to work?
Well, that's a heck of a question. I can't even tell you how cable television and the over-the-top solutions integrate completely. It's a wild west of content distribution and deal-making. And the same thing is we're going to see the same evolutions occur in the vehicle platform. I think the automakers are going to try to get a piece of this. The chip makers are going to try to get a piece of this. The people developing the AI for self-driving cars are going to try to get a piece of this. Content providers will try to get a piece of this. Producers will try to get a piece of this. Amazon is definitely going to try to get a piece of this. It's going to be very interesting to see how it develops. In terms of, you know, making a prediction, I don't know. The one thing I can predict, however, is that the American consumer is going to be targeted with a whole new level of advertising in a place that they're basically captive. And what I'm really interested in seeing is if they will have the stones, the cojones, if you will, to actually charge for the ride when you're sitting in there as a captive set of eyeballs.
Well, it's described as something, it looks like you're going into your den. You go in and watch your movies, and that's what you're going to be doing in your car in a few years from now. Thanks for joining us today, Tom. Tom Lason, president of New Media Solutions and NewMediaSolutions.tv in Seattle. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, the Apple Watch gets a boost from the FDA.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Apple Watch now has its first FDA-approved medical accessory. We're getting details from Bruce Japsen, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, tell us about the Cardia Band.
Well, this is part of a national trend, an international trend, really, of making sure that, you know, in the case of this band, heart activity is measured with an embedded sensor. So basically, the Apple Watch will be monitoring your heart activity. This is beyond just tracking your steps and making sure you're doing this or that or stuff that people actually have to put in. I mean, this is a trend where it generally health insurance companies don't want you to get sick. They don't want you to get in the hospital. And increasingly, technology is happening so where you're getting patient care in the right place, in the right amount, in the right time. And we're seeing this in other areas too, like in diabetes, for example. Google's Alphabet has a relationship with Blue Cross Blue Shield Association to develop ways to track diabetics. And in Chicago, Livongo, which is a Glenn Tolman venture too, that, you know, they track things like, you know, what did you eat in the morning, and they, you know, draw blood and they measure you and so forth. And so it's really, you might say, okay, are we a lazy society? Are we not going to the doctor? Are we not being measured? The reality is we are. I mean, we are not getting the right care in the right amount at the right time. So when you see the FDA agreeing to approve a device like this with Apple, it is hopefully moving the ball down forward and making sure that people are more proactive with their own health.
Is this covered at all by health care expenses, or does the person have to pay for everything?
Well, they have to pay. You know, generally, I think for this Apple device, you know, I think people are going to have to pay for it out of pocket. It starts at $199, and then there's a yearly subscription and so forth. But I would not be surprised if there are going to be some health insurance companies that do pay for it if they can prove that they're improving outcomes. And that's what we call, you know, value-based care. I mean, can they show that indeed, listen, we prevented a more serious situation down the road?
Thanks a lot.
And I think that you might be. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bruce Japsen here. Bruce's reports on health Monday evenings and Saturday mornings right here on News Radio WBBM. If you missed any part of today's noon business hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 1255. WBBM Business is sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists. Here's Lisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
Rob, we're seeing remarkable gains for stocks. The Dow is up 292 points, or 1.25%, and the benchmark is at 24,232. NASDAQ higher by 46 points, and the S&P advancing 20 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.75%. We are being lifted by stock in Sears. It was once a Dow stock and the largest retailer in the country. During the latest quarter, though, sales dropped 15% at Sears and Kmart stores that have been around at least a year. Investors were expecting worse. Sears Holdings did not lose as much money as expected, and its shares are higher. Consumers in general were spending more last month, and not just at the red-hot pace forced by the hurricane recovery in September. October's 0.3% increase was backed by a better-than-expected rise in incomes, which grew slightly faster than spending. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.